All right, let's just go ahead and get started. So I guess welcome to TechEvent, everybody. I hope everybody's having a good day so far today. Today I'm going to talk about developer collaboration with Team Foundation Server 2012. My name's Matt Mitrick. I'm a program manager at the TFS team. So there's going to be a lot of program managers giving talks throughout the week, and in case you haven't come across any yet. So program managers are different than product managers. Product managers are the marketing side of the business, and program managers, we actually work with the developers and testers to actually build the great features that you guys know and love. And so my job as a program manager is to understand what it is that developers want and how we can, you know, build the right features and build the best features for developers. So in today's talk, I'm going to go through and talk a lot about the 2012 release. You know, I'm going to first cover some of the themes of that release so you guys can understand what, you know, our goals were and what the new features look like. I'm going to spend most of the time doing demos, so just actually getting some hands-on in case you haven't seen any of the betas or release previews yet. We're going to go through and I'm going to walk through a ton of the cool new features that we have. And then at the end, I'll probably won't have enough time to get through everything, so I've got kind of a list of features to make sure we touch base and show some of the other pain points that we've addressed in the 2012 release. So, themes. So I mentioned, you know, 2012 release, you know, we have this big theme is around developer collaboration. And actually, it was even broader than that to start. We call it developers are raving fans. That was our goal. We really wanted to make developers love TFS 2012. And the 2010 release, we did a lot of work for the project management, adding a lot of value for organizations. So, you know, making it really easy to track my projects, manage work items, you know, build collaboration using build, things like that. But we kind of left out the developer a little bit. So in the 2012 release, we said we need to bring it back to the developer, really invest there. That's our core users for Visual Studio. And that's who we build Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio for, ultimately. So when we took a look and said, okay, well, what do we want to do for the developer? We had these kind of three themes that we came up with beneath all these investments. The first one there is frictionless. So anybody that's used, you know, TFS 2010 or prior versions has probably hit some friction spots. And what do I mean by that? Basically, just these little annoyances that'll happen here and there that are causing you to lose productivity. I've heard a lot of pain points from a lot of customers. We really sat down and analyzed that, talked to customers, talked to advisory councils, really tried to understand what those top pain points were and how could we address them. So kind of as you're watching the demos today, I encourage you to just think of those top pain points that you have with TFS 2010 and keep an eye out for it, because I'll bet you that we have addressed it for the development collaboration scenarios. At the end, you know, maybe we'll do a show of hands and see who had theirs, whose was met, and if not, you can come talk to me and we'll figure out how do we get that fixed in the near future. So another one of these investments that I'm going to talk about and you'll see here is I have modern as a theme. So what does that mean? And kind of goes hand in hand with this frictionless one in that we've got a lot of modal dialogues, things that are popping up in your face all the time, blocking you from being able to simultaneously do your development work as well as kind of, you know, make sure your tasks and bugs and things are getting associated correctly. So one thing that we sought out to do was just, you know, remove modality, get those pop-ups out of my face. And, you know, that was enough of a pain point that we said, hey, let's make some serious investments here. And so you'll see that throughout. Has anybody ever used the merge tool that's built in for TFS? Looks like I see a lot of hands and nods. So how many people currently use it? Okay, a lot of people still. So I see some so-sos, and I'm sure a lot of you have switched because it's not the greatest tool on earth. It was actually written back in Visual Source Safe days, so it's about 15 years old. I see some cringes out there, which is true. So we made some investments to, you know, completely revamp. Actually, not revamp. It's a completely new merge tool. So I'll be demoing some of that, and it's a lot more modern feel than the 15-year-old VSS stiff tool. So the last kind of major theme that we have for this release is about collaboration. And what do I mean collaboration? Well, I'm talking specifically about developer collaboration. So, and what do developers collaborate over? They collaborate over the code. So we've got a bunch of features in there to show how the developer can collaborate right inside Visual Studio with, you know, using code to collaborate. So I think that's going to be enough to switch us over to the demo, and we'll get to see the fun part. So All right, everybody can see that. So just a little word about my setup here. So I'm running two instances of Visual Studio. This is the Visual Studio 2012 release preview, which is available now. You can go and download it free, try it out, use it. I'm running Visual Studio Ultimate. And in the light theme here, the light gray theme, I'm running as my user, and I've also got another instance running here in the dark gray theme that's running under another user context. So there'll be some times you'll see me switch back and forth. Just keep in mind that I'm just simulating two different users working on the same team. I had planned to use the TFS preview today. For those of you that know about the Team Foundation service preview, it's a site that we have set up that is, you know, allows you to go and use a hosted version of Team Foundation server. It's really cool. It just recently, we used to have codes that you had to have a private invitation code to go and use it. We recently just took that down. So if the internet was working in the conference center today, I would be demoing against that, but instead, I'll just demo against my local server here, which, just a little plug for the next talk. The next talk is about Team Foundation Server Express, and that's what I'm running on my laptop here today that I'll be doing the demos instead of hitting the service preview. But just note that everything I'm showing here today is either a client feature in Visual Studio 2012 or is a combination of client and server feature. So enough said about kind of what we got set up here. So first thing I want to talk about is this Team Explorer. So this is our new hub for everything inside Visual Studio that's related to TFS. We had a Team Explorer before, but this is completely redone. And kind of the birth of this was we started brainstorming ideas. We said, I got this cool idea. Oh, yeah, that'll be a great feature. How are we going to add it? Oh, we'll add it as a new tool window inside Visual Studio. Okay, work on some more. Oh, I got another idea. How about we do this feature? Well, let's add that as a tool window, too. And not that VS doesn't have enough tool windows already, but we knew we didn't want to add too many. So we said, we got to do something about this problem, and we consolidated. So that's where the Team Explorer was born from. Basically, just us trying to avoid this problem of having, you know, 20 different tool windows open so that I can do my TFS tasks. So here I'm looking at the Team Explorer homepage. I get like a little bit of context here that tells me which project I'm working on. If I hover, I get a tooltip that tells me which server I'm using and, you know, kind of information about who I'm connected as. And I've got all of these links on the homepage here, and these are the things that allow me to access the specific features of Team Foundation Server. So I've got my pending changes, my work items, my builds. I've got links to things like web access, and some of the settings for Team Foundation Server are now accessible right through the Team Explorer. And you can also see there's some links here for things like if I want to request a code review, we'll talk more about that. Source Control Explorer, new query for work items, some of the more common things that people are doing, we provide that right inside the Team Explorer as well. So if I, you know, kind of let's take a look at one of these hubs. Let's start with the work items one. So work items, as you would expect from using TFS 2010, we've got my queries section here, so I can see my queries, which I don't have any. My shared queries, so if I expand this, I can see, you know, kind of all those things there. Same as it was before in 2010, you can double click these queries, you know, open them up. You know, I can see the unfinished work here. Not that special, but something that we have new is our favorite section here. And this is one of those goals of kind of reducing the friction, where, you know, most developers care about a small number of queries. Like, well, what are the bugs assigned to me? What are the tasks assigned to me? What are the things that I'm working on for this sprint? So what we did was we made it really easy to, at a glance, come into this page and see what are those work items that I have assigned to me. So this is just a query that I selected from below. I said I could, you know, right-click here, and you could say add to my favorites, and it'll just add that up into the top section. You just get a nice little summary of what, you know, which bugs fall under that query. And you can just double-click on this to open the full query results if you want to drill in. For queries that have items with mixed states, so like this is the sprint backlog, so I've got tasks. Some are new, some things are new, so there's some bugs in there. There's some tasks that are to do. If there were things in progress, you'd see that there as well. So again, kind of this making it more efficient, more, you know, pain-free to just at a glance see what my status is for my project. Another one here, we'll go to builds, go to the builds page. This again is about highlighting the important information. So when I'm looking or thinking about builds, I want to know what about my builds? Where are the builds that I requested? or the builds that were the result of a, you know, a change set that I checked in and kicked off a continuous integration build. So right here at the top, I see the summary of my builds, and you can see, you know, these last two were good, and there was a previous one where I broke something. You know, so I get that quick status again, just right in my face. I can see, hey, instantly, my last build was good. If I had a build that was queued, I can go ahead here and queue a build. You'll see that that shows up as just started inside this view. So at any time, I can see where am I in the queue, if it's running, if it's passed, whatnot. You'll probably also notice that below my builds, I've got kind of a favorite build definition section. So this section allows me to see at a glance kind of the status of any build definitions that I care about. So in particular, I just care about this CI build right now, but if I, you know, had another build like this nightly build that I wanted to say add to a favorite, I would see the status there. I haven't run any nightly builds on this machine, so I don't get any status. But from here, I can, again, you know, quickly click. I can open up the build explorer, drill into builds there. Or I can come back over here and see the status. I can click on any one of these little, one of the little blocks there to open up the build report for an individual build. And I can just, you know, click through here. Let me actually see what this bad one was. What was the break? Go down here. You know, okay, looks like a compiler error was the cause of that one. And if you notice, while I'm opening these builds, I can toggle back and forth between them. And it's not opening 100 different build pages. I've just got this one tab here. So in past versions, I would have had, I clicked probably five different times there. I'd have five different tabs open. So again, this is one of those removing the pain points, you know, getting rid of that friction. Just consolidate everything for me. And this is actually a feature of Visual Studio 2012, not necessarily Team Foundation Server. So anytime you see these tabs that are anchored to the right and have this like purple color, that's a preview tab. And it basically stays open while, you know, I have that context, and it won't open, you know, multiple things will always open in the same preview tab. They won't open in separate tabs. I can promote the tab if I want, and now I can just leave this here if I want to open up another build report and view that separately. But I hate having too many tabs, so I'm just going to keep that closed. And then I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this. You'll notice there's preview tabs throughout the demo that I'm showing today. We use them heavily because we think it's a great idea. It really reduces clutter. It keeps your IDE clean so that I can just view my code. That's just let me see the code in my editor. I don't really care about all those other tabs being open all the time. Okay, so let's go back to Team Explorer a little bit. And you might have noticed there's a couple different things I've been navigating around in here. So the navigation is very much like a web browser. I've got back buttons so I can go back to previously visited pages. Forward, same thing. Home button just always take me back to the home page. From the home page, I can then jump to any of these other pages. We've also got a different nav control here. I can click, and I can, from any page, I can jump directly to another page without necessarily having to go back to the home page. You'll also see this projects and teams. So in this case, I've only got one team project on this demo machine, but if I have more than one, this is where I switch contexts between my project. So, excuse me, within Team Explorer, you're always in the context of one team project, and this is how you pivot between those projects. So the nice thing about this is I can be looking at, you know, maybe my builds, whoops, I can be looking at my builds page for this team project, and maybe if I want to see what builds look like on a different team project, I can just go in here and immediately pivot onto that other page. This also says teams. Now, in this example, I only have one team again. Apologize for that. My demo on TFS preview, I found out an hour beforehand that the network was down. So, but we've got a demo nonetheless. But what you'll see here is teams is a new concept in 2012, and we surface that here as well. So you saw there was, on the work items page, the concept of my favorites and my team favorites. And the team favorites, those change with the team context. So you'll see there's kind of these other areas in the tool where teams are exposed, and that's how you would pivot that. So, but most of the time, people are working in one team project. So, you know, it's not too hard to switch to between them. There's also this search bar that we have up top here. It says search work items. So has anybody ever created a work item query just a one time, just to find a certain bug or something? So yeah, a couple hands. I see some grins out there. So it's not the most pleasant experience on earth. So this search bar for work items makes it a lot easier for me to just quickly find things. So if I know the ID of something, I can just enter that in, it'll just open it up right away. That's kind of the old go-to functionality that we had, just kind of consolidated up here. But I also get some really cool things if I expand this out. You can see I can add these filters to do searches. So if I want to say, let me see all the things that are assigned to me and have the state that is new, that'll find all the new bugs that are assigned to me. And I just hit enter here. And it returns to me just on the fly, builds that query, sends it back, and sends me the results right in the Team Explorer view. And so, you know, from here I can just double click and open up the work items. Again, you'll see they're opening up in the preview panes. So that way I can quickly find, oh, okay, this is the bug that I was looking for, that I, you know, care about for whatever reason. And so, you know, these keywords just really make it a lot easier to just do these on-the-fly queries without having to edit, you know, pull up the query editor, without having to save it, you know, just need to do it once. So just help me out a little bit. So that's what that feature is there. So search work items, definitely a very useful feature. So let's go back. Let's take a look at pending changes. So pending changes is probably where most developers are spending most of their time when it comes to TFS. If you remember in 2010, the pending changes window was previously just a separate tool window. It was docked on the bottom, had all these different tabs that you could flip through to see your work items and everything. And, you know, we got a lot of feedback from people that, you know, hey, this is painful to just have to constantly be flipping back and forth. And we said, hey, this is one of these areas that we really want to kind of streamline and modernize. So looks like I don't have any changes. So let me go in here and I'll just open this up. And let me refactor. This is a good way to get a lot of pending changes, which is great for demoing when you're the TFS team. Yes. Go back to Team Explorer. So here I can see a list in this included changes section. This is everything that I've currently made changes to. By default, they go into my included changes, and then these are the things that if I click check-in, that will go into the check-in. You used to have the check boxes. And again, it's another one of those pain points. People would say, oh, it's really hard for me to figure out that one file that was excluded in there. So the model that we use now is we have this included section and we have an excluded section. So say if there's something I don't want to include in this check-in, I can just right-click and exclude, or drag and drop down here to exclude that. And now those items are excluded. Another subtle change here is the way that these changes are persisted. And what I mean by that is, typically, or in the 2010 release, if I unchecked something in my pending changes and I made a check-in, the next time I went to check-in, that item was checked again. So it was automatically included for you every time. A good example of this problem is a web config file. Has anybody ever checked in their developer's web config file into production? I see a couple hands going up there. So with the exclude feature, you can just exclude it and it will stay in there. It's sticky. It won't come back. You won't check in the wrong web config file and break the build anymore. So, and there's plenty of other scenarios for why you might want to exclude something as well. Another thing you'd notice is there's no pending changes. It doesn't tell me that this is an edit or a rename or a delete or anything. So another move that we made here is to go with typography to indicate changes. So anything that shows up in here means that it has some kind of a change. And if it has nothing, it's typically just an edit. So if I go back to the solution, let me just add a new controller here. You'll see what ads look like. Mm-hmm. New controller. And so you can see, let me go back and let me delete something as well. Just delete this one. Okay. Go back to Team Explorer. And so I can see here I've got this ad, so it's telling me it's an ad. The delete is a strike through. So we're trying to make it, pretty obvious at a glance, like, hey, what's going on here? And it's, that delete really jumps out at you when it's got that strike through it. Hey, this is something that's getting deleted in this. For renames, branches, merges, all those other change types, we'll indicate that in there as well. But just another kind of quick way for people to, at a glance see, hey, what are my changes look like? What's the status of things? We've also got kind of some new filters here. We've always had this solution filter, which will just show me only the changes that are part of the solution. We also have this new custom filter, which is cool because it allows me to say, hey, I only want to look at controllers in the controllers folder. There we go. So, you know, and that scopes that down to me. If I want to do, you know, wildcard searches, we support that. So I can say, hey, just the CS files or just the, you know, do I have any config files? That's looking at config directory. But, you know, a quick way that I can filter down a large list of pending changes, and that's something people had complained about previously as well, is I've got this list of changes. Help me find the one thing that I care about. So definitely the custom filter is a cool way to quickly jump to and find a specific change. So I actually am not going to want to check all these changes in. So we've got another nice one here is undo all. Let me just undo all those changes. Okay, back to Team Explorer here. If I look, I've got my work items section. We can add work items by ID, another popular feature. I just type it in if I know the ID. I've also got the ability to launch a query. So these are just two of the queries that are under my favorites. If I click the bugs assigned to me, I can just quickly drag and drop those things in there. In the old work items channel in the pending changes, you used to have to make sure that your items would fit into kind of the magic query that was listed in the queries box, and it was never correctly configured. We got so much feedback that people said, just let me create my own query, or let me add it by ID. So we went ahead and added those things. So you also notice this resolve and associate link. This is how I go ahead and change my, you know, whether or not I want the state to transition whenever I complete the change or the check-in. So I'm just going to get rid of these. And then comment, nothing special there, but I can do a short comment. And, you know, it's got plenty of room for long comments as too. So pending changes, that's pretty much most of pending changes. I don't have any check-in notes or anything configured there, but you would see that on this page as well. So another example back to kind of modality and why this Team Explorer is really good. If you think about finding a shelf set in 2010, and just trying to, a simple act of, let me just view a file in a shelf set. It's really painful to do. It requires you to go to file, source control, unshelf, pull up the unshelf dialog, you find your shelf set, you double click on that shelf set, and once you've got that open, then you can, you know, click on the file, double click the file, open the file, it opens it in Notepad, and now you've got like four levels stacked of dialogues with inside Visual Studio. So if I look at the pending changes page here, I've got a new action to find shelf sets. So we make that a lot easier right inside Team Explorer. So let me click that, and I do have a sample one here. So I can just double click on the shelf set. Notice these just all in Team Explorer. I can go back to, you know, back and forth between these pages. And now I've got, you know, here's the change that I want to look at, double click. Sorry, this server isn't the fastest server in the world. But it's the diff will be opening up in a second here. You can see the notes across the bottom. But the good thing is, this doesn't block me from doing anything, right? So this is one of those advantages where having the modality is really painful. And if I'm working against a slow server or something, or offline, which we'll talk about in a little bit, then, you know, I'm not blocked by all these actions. So. And so here's the diff open for that item that I wanted to, you know, that I have shelved. So I can see here, here's what the server change is, here's the shelf change that was shelved against the previous edit. So this is, I was fixing the build break that I had before. The diff tool, brand new. This is another one of those kind of modern UI investments that we made. If I look here, I've got, you know, the word level and line level highlighting. This is just, you know, really trivial change, but adds and deletes, it'd be obvious. You can see where they're inserted. We've also got the ability to do inline diff. So for people that prefer that, you can choose to do your inline diffs. Me, personally, I'm a side-by-side guy, so I'm going to kind of leave it there. You can also tear out the page and maximize that so you get the full real estate, full screen real estate to be able to see your diff view. And if I close out of this, I can show you one of the really cool features of diff. If I go back to Solution Explorer, let me just open this up. What is that? And let me make a couple changes here. Add new using. Okay. Just delete some of this. Change this. All right. It's a nice thing. It doesn't have to build if you're just demoing the tools. And Let me go here and compare. Okay. And so now I've got my diff tool. I've got the diff view again, so I can see what, you know, things I added and edited. And the really cool part is that this is editable. So I can just, right inside Visual Studio, I can just, you know, add whatever, and it works just right in my diff tool. So I got full IntelliSense, all of the features that you would expect from your Visual Studio editor right inside the diff tool now. So very cool integrated experience, and, you know, definitely something that's kind of unique to Visual Studio right now. So I'm going to pause a little bit talking about kind of all these Team Explorer investments that we've done here. And another big investment, or I should say a big pain point that users had in the past has been around merge. Anybody ever have pain around merging? Conflicts? Okay, just about everybody. So we took a step back and said we need to make some major investments in merge. And we made three major areas of investment. The first one was to just make sure that our internal conflict engine and the way that we're doing our three-way merges was sane. We went and looked at all the competitor tools, compared merge, because a lot of people were telling us, hey, this merge is better than TFS. You know, Subversion doesn't give as many conflicts as TFS. So we really did a lot of deep analysis to understand, is there something that we're doing wrong in our engine? Is there something that needs fixed? There were a few small tweaks that we made to reduce some of the number of conflicts. And we consolidated that engine between both the diff or the merge tool and the server side, which previously was different. So anybody that used the SourceSafe tool, it would tell you sometimes that there was no conflict whenever TFS was telling you that there was a conflict. So it's really confusing. So now we've consolidated that and made sure we're always, you know, telling one story from end to end. So the second improvement that we made was this new auto merge capability. So just kind of working with developers, I actually did a lot of this myself. I shadowed developers and just watched them when they were working with conflicts. And what I found was most of the time, people were just clicking the auto merge button. Just like the conflicts come up, just auto merge them, get them out of my face. And so what happened was we said, well, if that's what people are doing all the time, we should just be doing that for them. So I'll do a quick demo of how that works here. So let me get rid of this. Let me undo this so I make sure I know what I'm. Oh, there it is. Okay, so I'm going to switch over to this other user here. And let me just make a little change. Let me say this guy is working. This user is Elvis. Elvis is working in this file, and he wants to make some changes. Let's just add, I don't know, sum equals x plus y. Oh. And change this. So, you know, Elvis is making some changes here. He's going to go ahead and save that. Whoops. And let's go ahead, Team Explorer, check that in. So made some changes. Check that in. All right, so that went ahead and got successfully checked in. You also might have noticed there when I'm making changes or check-ins from the pending changes window, there's no more modal progress dialog. It's right inside the page. Now, that was pretty quick, but just pay attention as I'm checking in. So it's not going to block you while you're making check-ins anymore. You're free to use your editor and go and do other things. And we also kind of give you this nice handy view of, hey, which change set did I check in? So if I go back over here, open up that same script, Supermath, and I'm just going to go down here and do kind of the same thing for the div equals x divided by y. Just going to do div. Save that. And now let me, you know, before I get too far, let me just do a get latest here so I can get those changes from Elvis and kind of see what he's been working on. And so I see my git progress dialog. The output window shows up for a second because down here at the bottom, it's going to tell me automatically resolve the conflict as auto merge. And so it just kind of lets me know, hey, there was a conflict that was automatically resolved. But if I go and look at the file, It just worked. It just, you know, you can see Elvis's changes up here, my changes down here. It, you know, seamlessly, no problems. Just in the case where we can auto merge, we just do it for you. And we found that that's what most developers want. Though if there is some scenario where you're saying, hey, you know, I'd rather have that control, it's an option, you can turn it back off. So you can say, yes, I do want to have experience more pain and merge all the conflicts myself. So if I go back, so I mentioned there were three different investments. So one was kind of the engine. The second one was this auto merge capability. The third one was the new merge tool. You know, I talked about the VSS merge tool that we've been shipping with Team Foundation Server for the past few years. So let me make a little more, you know, significant conflict there. And let me just find that same, where was that same file? Scripts, okay. So I'm gonna call this cool math. And I'm gonna change the subtract to a mod function. And all right, and then I'm gonna check that in as Elvis again. Yep, let's check that change in. Come back over here, and now I'm going to go ahead and let me do the changes to add. Go crazy. Changes to really cool math. Save that. And now let me go ahead and try to check this in. All right, check in. So that shouldn't check in, or we have a big problem. All right, there we go, conflict. So can't auto-merge, that's disabled. You know, we actually will try to do the auto-merge in the case where we think we might be able to. In this case, we can't. So I'm going to go ahead and merge changes in the merge tool. Yep, it's just warning me that that file's already open. So, and let me get some more real estate here so you guys can see all this. So this is the new merge tool. Looks. The goal was to make this, again, fit in and have all the editor functionality, just like the diff tool does. We've got that similar look and feel between them. Here we can see kind of the conflict, the current conflict that's selected. I can click around and navigate between all the different conflicts. You can see ones that have already been, you know, selected for you because it was safe to go ahead and just, you know, take that part of the merge. That's colored in green for you. Here, if I want to select thing, I just click a checkbox and say, yes, I want to take this side, or maybe I don't want to take that one, I want to take this one. You know, pick whatever changes I need to. I can go ahead and edit in here, you know, foobar, whatever. And I get, you know, I can get IntelliSense in here. Let me do like this, whatever. So I've got all of the features of the editor again that I expect right inside of the merge tool. We've got things like history and compare and, you know, everything you would want right inside this. So you don't have to leave. The idea is make it easy for me when I'm resolving this conflict to just have everything at my fingertips. I want to see what was the difference. I want a bigger diff view. You know, okay, here, just give me the side-by-side diff of just the local and the server file. We also have some different views here. We've got, like, this vertical view, which I really like. Lets me kind of see the code if it's, you know, if it fits nicely, it's a great way to visualize everything. I've also got horizontal view for long lines and things like that. So you can see a lot of investments put into this tool here just to really streamline that experience. Another cool thing is you can actually use undo. I'm hitting Control Z right now. You can see just I can undo stuff. So if I make a mistake while I'm doing my merge here, I can just back out of it without having to cancel the entire thing, something that was really a pain in the previous merge tool. So I'm going to go ahead and say, that's fine. I don't really care about this conflict. Probably just go back to that. And I guess this is still beta software, so there are exceptions. I'm going to have to probably resolve that. But so let me check in the bad file. Okay. So let me see here. I've got another change set details. I mentioned that before. So this is another example of reducing the modality. I can get this. I can just come in right here, double click. I can see the diff that was created for this specific, you know, for this scenario. So close back out of that. It's another feature you'll notice that we have right accessible right within the change set details is the rollback. Another popular ask for people, hey, can I get that in the UI? We had it on the command line, but it's too much of a pain to use. So right here, if you want to roll back that change set, you can do that. Another thing I can do is I can just pull up history. I can do a rollback from here. So if I want to say, hey, those last few changes that we just did were all bad. You know, we totally screwed up that file. Let's just roll it back. And I'm going to roll back the whole region of those changes. And it tells me that it did the rollback. Go back to pending changes. I can see the rollback here. And we're going to say rolling it back. Check that in. And now my changes are back to you know, a good state. So all of that is, you know, kind of the whole merge functionality, merge, team, explorer. Those were two big investment areas. One of the, probably the biggest pain point that we heard from users was that this read-only bit. Anybody have a problem with the read-only bit on files? You want to edit something, you're offline, or you need to edit it in Notepad. See a lot of nods out there. So we totally changed the way that we're doing that. Previously, we referred to the previous feature as server workspaces. That was when you create your workspace. We stored all the data on the server. With this new feature called local workspaces, we actually cache everything on the client machine. So when you're offline, when you're unavailable, when you're away from the server, when the conference network is down, you can still make progress on your code. So let me close out and show you a couple examples of, you know, of what that looks like. So first off, let me do something here. Let me open up the admin console, because I'm running a local server. Unplugging the network cable doesn't do anything. So I'm going to actually stop this collection. All right, stop the collection. Demo. Okay, so that is now offline. So we'll prove that. We'll come back here and try and refresh Source Control Explorer. And that's going to tell me it's disconnected. So now we're offline. And notice in there, I didn't get any of these nasty prompts. Hey, do you want to go offline? Do you want to take the solution offline? We've gotten rid of that. And with the local workspace, it just doesn't exist anymore. If I go over to my Solution Explorer, I still got my solution here. If I open up a file, I can go ahead and just, you know, edit this and add whatever I want in there. No delay, no need to go and muck with the read-only bit. You know, so I can just definitely edit while I'm offline with no pain. What's really cool is I also get a bunch of other features while I'm offline. So I've got my pending changes view here. You'll see I don't have things like work items offline, so we get this message that says, hey, we can't show you work items right now. But we still let you, you know, do everything with all of your code, all of your changes. When I'm offline, I can go ahead and do a compare. And this is just showing me the diff of what I'm working on. Now, the diff that we support, the diff that we support while offline is only one diff. It's the diff comparing my local copy, my unmodified copy, to the changes that I have made locally. And we do that by caching all of the files on the file system so that we know, hey, this is a change that, you know, was edited while off, you know, edited locally. And so we can show you that diff. Of course, you can't diff to the server if the server's down or it's unavailable. So you can't do that, but most interesting one anyway, I think, is see what changes I've made in made on my local machine. Another feature that we have here is undo. Because we have that cached copy, we can return that file back to its, you know, original state. So I can just right click, undo, yep, and that change is gone now. So restored everything while I was offline. So things I can do offline, I can edit, I can add files, I can rename, I can delete. You know, almost all the basic operations. Anything that doesn't require us to go to the server to get data, we can do it offline now. So, you know, one of those major pain points is just gone. Another really interesting example is, you know, anybody ever edit in an editor besides Visual Studio? Maybe Notepad, or even if it's not you, somebody on the team did, and, you know, I see a bunch of heads nodding and stuff. So I can go ahead and just edit with whatever editor that I choose. So if I go back, let me find this on the disk. Workspace. Can we find anything here? Let me go. Let me just go back to that script that I had before. Open with Notepad. No integration at all, no editor integration, nothing special. I can just, you know, edit right in Notepad. Now, something that's really cool is if you watch the pending changes as I make this edit here, as soon as I save this file, watch the included changes list. It updates instantly. And that's because we have a file watcher that is watching all of the items in my workspace to look for changes. So as soon as something is changed on disk, we catch it like that, we show it on your included changes. So even if you're working inside and outside Visual Studio, you'll have, you know, kind of a consolidated, you'll know that all of your changes are in this one view inside the Team Explorer pending changes view. What's really cool, watch this, if I undo the change, whoops, I guess it doesn't, Notepad doesn't have as big of an undo stack. But if I return it to the original state and save it, pending change is gone. So you kind of get automatic undo of your pending changes if you do make, if you are making these types of edits outside of Visual Studio. So another thing that some people may have noticed and been wondering is, what the heck is this detected change down here? So this is another feature of the local workspaces. So I mentioned we have that file watcher that's constantly monitoring the disk, seeing if there's, you know, what's been added or changed inside your workspace. And so this detected change is picking up a file that I added. It was actually earlier in the demo I created the new controller and I didn't undo on it, but it's sitting on the disk still. So anything that I add to the to my local workspace, if I go back to, let me go back to my workspace and just make a new file. If I get a new text document, test, you'll be able to see that. I've got another detected change now. So I click in here, I can click, I can, you know, I've got a bunch of options for these detected changes. What the main thing that it's telling me here is I can promote these to a real change. So if I go ahead, let's just do one of them first. I'm going to say promote. Now it's just an add, and it just shows up with my regular included changes. If I go back here, we also have a cool feature to ignore items. So I can say, hey, this test text file, I don't really want to see this. You know, this may be some, you know, build file or something that I don't ever want to see that. So you can ignore that by extension, you know, if there's some, you know, DLLs or things you don't want to come in. Now, we actually have a big white list of files that we're saying, or I should say a black list of types that we say, don't add binaries directory, don't add the, you know, output directories. So we get a lot of that for you, but you can customize things and say, hey, you know, this is a file specific to our project that I never want to check in. So, you know, I went ahead and ignored that. Now, if you look at my pending changes, I've got this tfignore file that we create. That it gives you a little bit of explanation about how you can ignore things, and you see that this pattern is now added to that file. So you can use these files for your whole team to, you know, ignore certain files so that people aren't accidentally checking in certain, you know, build things. That's one of the major scenarios that we've added this for. So, and this, again, is a local workspace feature. When the 2012 release, local workspaces are the default. We still do support server workspaces 100%. But you just don't get all the offline functionality. It'll be just like it was in 2010. But everything else works the same. So let me go ahead and close this. So we've kind of taken a look at some of those major investments for TFS version control. I also want to show some of the other, go back to Team Explorer and show some of the other cool new features that we have in Visual Studio. So if I go back to the home page, we've got this My Work page. Let's take a look at that. Whoops, forgot to turn my collection back on because I was able to do so much offline. I didn't even notice. Okay, so that's telling me it's back online. Let's refresh. Okay, and so the My Work page. So this is a new way of kind of working in the development environment inside Visual Studio. So let me talk about this a little bit. So what I see here, the first thing I see is kind of what do I have in progress? So this is telling me that, you know, hey, there's those two files that I added that I've been working on before. And it lets me just kind of summarize really quickly, hey, there's those two changes, and I can jump over to my pending changes if I want to drill in. But this does a lot more than just that. It shows me a list of my suspended and shelved work. So anybody working with shelf sets, you know, you'll be able to see a concise list here of, hey, this is the work that I have in progress, you know, that maybe I want to switch over to that at some point in time. We've also got this kind of available work items section, which for anybody that's seen any of the new Agile features that we have in 2012, the task boards and things on the web, that matches this list of the available work items here. So if I've got items assigned to me on the task board, I'm going to see them here in the My Work view. That's just the default view. You can change the queries to be whatever you want. You can make a new query. You can create new bugs. But by default, what we're trying to do is say, hey, I don't want to have to go to the task board to change my task's state, to make something in progress. Can I do that within Visual Studio? And that's what this My Work is really all about. So let me show an example about that. So I've got some changes in progress. Let me say, hey, this is, let me just do this task, and we drag it up to in progress. And so now this is associated with those changes that I've got. What it's done at the same time, if I open up this work item, you can see here it made a change. It transitioned the state from to do to in progress. So now anybody that goes and looks at the task board, they'll be able to see, hey, Matt is working on this file. So I don't need to go to the task board all the time to just tell people, hey, I'm updating things. It just does it right within inside the My Work experience. The other really cool thing, and this is the highlight of this feature, is the ability to kind of do this one-click suspend and shelve, we call it. So the scenario here is, hey, you're working on some work. I've been working on this project. And my boss comes in and he says, hey, there's this new, you know, high priority thing I need you to work on right now. Put down whatever you're working on. Okay, well, I can do that here. Just suspend and shelve, suspend. Now, what this is doing is this takes all of the state of my VS instance. And actually, let me resume that. I'll give you a better example because I didn't have a file open. Go back over here. You can see that, well, taking a minute to unshelve this here. This is back on. Okay. So if I were to, example, go back to Solution Explorer, open up one of these files, you know, make an edit, save that. I've got this file open now. If I go back to the My Work, say suspend and shelve, it's going to suspend that again, and it closed that file for me. So it kind of gives me back to this clean state. Now the idea is I can say, okay, all right, so I'm going to go, my boss needs to work on this high priority task, so let me go ahead and get started on that. Go over to the solution. He needs me to, you know, do whatever. You know, this is the, you know, the high priority work. I'm going to go ahead and save that. So now I can keep working on that. I go over to my, you know, pending changes. I can check it in. Okay. Okay, did the high pri work? Check that in. Yep, want to check it in. It's going to associate the work item with it. And go back to my work page. And now I can easily go back to resume this, and it's exactly where I left off. If I had, you know, if I was in a, you know, debug windows open, it would resume those, it would put those back, I'd be right back in the state where I left off. So very cool way to help you switch between tasks if you're, you know, ever have to context switch, which a lot of us have to do. If I suspend this again, I'll show you another really cool feature here is if I've got this work, you know, suspended, and, you know, I'd go ahead and start on something else. You know, let me start on this login page work. Go back here and just, I don't know, site CSS, working on font, gosh, we'll do family. Everybody loves Comic Sans. So we'll do that, save that. So I'm going ahead and do this other work. And then I realized, you know what? This actually should have been done as a part of that other task that I support, that I suspended in the past. So I can go ahead and say merge within progress. And so with a single click here, it's going to go ahead and take that shelf set that I had and those changes that I had set aside on the server, and it's going to merge those down into my current workspace. So this is another really cool feature. It used to be if you had a pending change or that was blocking or overlapping the change that you made locally, you couldn't unshelf. Now you can do that. And we make it really easy in my work experience to just a single click say, hey, this work, it belongs with that work. And now I've got them all together. So I can say here, yep, I could check this in. But you know what? In the sense of in the spirit of developer collaboration, let's go ahead and request a review from somebody. So I've been working with Elvis today. So let's say let's get a review from Elvis. So I enter his name there. If there are, you know, other reviewers, you can add as many as you want. Got a little comment, kind of the subject for the code review. Elvis, can you look at these changes? Go ahead and you can see the related work items that are associated with that work, so he can tell what's the context of these changes. I'm going to submit that request. Okay, and so now I'm back on the My Work page, and I can see, so I've got this stuff still in progress. What it did is it created, you know, a shelf set out of my changes, sent that over to Elvis, sent him an email notification, and I can see that, you know, that request right here in my My Work page. So I've got, you know, all these sections now we've talked about where I've got, here's the things I'm working on now. The suspended stuff is the stuff I set aside. The available work items are the things I haven't started yet. And the code review and code review requests are the things that I need something from someone else, or somebody needs something from me. So we'll flip over to the other environment here and take a look and see what Elvis, what he sees. There's some crazy stuff going on next door. So if I go to the My Work page here, this is from Elvis's view again. You can see that he sees the review that I requested, so it's got my name on it and it's in bold to let him know, hey, this is something new. You'll see that throughout the My Work experience. If somebody else opens up and modifies a work item that you're working on, it'll always be in bold to kind of say, hey, this is not read yet. You might want to take a look at this. So Elvis comes in, he sees this, he double clicks that. And so he's in this kind of code review experience right inside Visual Studio now. So here he can see who the other reviewers are. He can see the work items that this is related to. So he can see the comment that I put, Elvis, can you look at these changes? And then he sees the list of the files that are associated with this review. So if he comes up here, he can say, yep, I'm going to accept this code review. And that's part of this communication between the developers. So now, if you know, I know if I go back, I can see that Elvis is actually working on this review. He's accepted that review. So if I expand this here, I can see Elvis accepted. So now I know he's working on this review. So kind of facilitating that communication. So if I go back, Elvis's view. So he's working on the code review now. He's going to click here. You get a single click. You can get your diffs. I can see, oh, this is a new file. So this is that new tfignore file. Not too interesting here. I can click check to say, yes, I'm done with that file. And you notice that we have a color bug, a black on black checkbox. So that one's already fixed. So in RTM, you guys will see that one. If I click here, go through this. Here's a file. Okay, I see the change that he made there. Let me go ahead and add a comment. I hate Comic Sans. Take this out. You can save that. I can go down, look at the next file real quick. You see these are all opening in those preview panes again. So I can, you know, quickly just, you know, go through the files that I need to review without having to dirty my own workspace. This isn't changing anything on my disk. This is literally just viewing the shelf set, viewing those changes, showing them to me in the diff, and allowing me to do these annotations. So I can say, you know, looks good, save that. This other one, sure, that's new, that looks good to me too. So we'll check those and say, all right, I'm done with all of those files now. So another thing I can do is I can add an overall comment. So if I come back up here, add overall comment, that this looks good. Except for Comic Sans. Save that. And now Elvis, he's pretty happy about this review. No major changes there, nothing too questionable. He can send this and just say, yep, I'm done, finish it. He can send it with comments. Basically, that'll indicate to the person requesting the review, hey, this person wants to talk more about these changes. Don't just assume that, you know, they're done with this. So it's a good way to, again, that communication between developers, and the tool is really going to help you try and do that. The other thing is, for a more complex change, you can always just view the shelf set. So if I click on view the shelf set, I'll just view the shelf set, and then I can unshelve it right into my workspace. So, you know, this is good for, like, kind of doing buddy builds and testing. I could, you know, part of the code review, I could unshelve it, test it, build it, make sure that works first, then go through and scrutinize the code and say, okay, yes, these changes all look good to me. And then at the end of that, I'm going to go back and, I'm going to go back and send this back to them. So I think this looks good. So I'm going to send that back. So this is now gone from Elvis's view. So he has no more code reviews being asked to him, so he can go and do whatever work he needs to do. And then I come back to my page. If I refresh here, I can open the code review. Whoops. I can open this code review, and I can see, you know, hey, Elvis said it looks good. Each individual reviewer would have the status if they chose to, you know, to complete the review. I would see that here. I can see the comments that he had in response to mine. I could reply to that if he had requested, you know, feedback and said, okay, I'll take it out. Do that. And you know, Elvis will get the notifications with that as well. I can see all the individual comments. If I click on a comment, you know, it tells me the line number. I can go directly to those files. It's taking a second to load here. But you know, overall, this is just like this one stop. I can just go right down the list, work through all the files, see all the comments, incorporate any changes I need to, and then. So here I can see where the comments were. Go ahead, close that though. And I can then go ahead and just, you know, I could send these comments back. At some point though, you're going to be done and you're going to say, you know, time to just close this review. Let me complete this review. Okay, so that review is now done. And I can check in the changes. Let me say, completed the work. And I can say, got a code review. And as, if you notice, you can see this code review work item is associated right with the changes. So in the there's that traceability now. Anybody that wants to look at this change set can will now be able to see this associated work item. They'll be able to open it up, look in, see the details, see that Elvis reviewed it, saw all the comments. They can go through and kind of scrutinize it themselves. So you get that traceability there so that, you know, you can make sure that people on the team are doing the right thing and that the reviews are happening and that you're getting good quality reviews from your peers. So I'm ready, done with that, so I'm going to check it in. Yep, I want to associate all this stuff. And there we go, and it's in. So now my code review, if I take a look at the, if I look at the history, you can see that, double click there, pull up the change set details. I can see the code review right there, and then I can, again, just drill in from the change set details page. So that was a lot of stuff that we saw there. You know, kind of going back to kind of the themes I talked about, keep those three things in mind. The frictionless, so a lot of that, you saw there's reduce that modality, make things accessible, elevate the high priority information, you know, make it so I can see the work and see the build, see my changes, let me get to things quickly. The you know kind of the new diff and merge tools, those are very like modern experiences, much more polished than the old tool that we had, and the collaboration through the code review tool, as well as you know kind of you know the feedback loop that provides. So let me switch back to this last few slides here, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff I don't have enough time to get into in the next few minutes here. So we made a lot of investments. Most of the stuff I showed was version control specific. But we had a lot of investments in build and work item tracking, something we call paper cuts. So those are all those little pain points that cause all that friction. You can see we've got, you know, the platform support, we include all the Win8 and hosted TFS. So, you know, what hosted TFS is, we've got hosted build in the cloud. So what's really cool is we've got this pool of build machines, basically, just up in the cloud. If you use Team Foundation Server Preview, you can set up build, don't have to configure a build machine. It'll just run for you out of the pool in the cloud. So it's really cool, really easy to use and set up. You can see some of the other things, and I'm not going to necessarily read all of them. Made some improved the UX for the build summary. For work item tracking in Visual Studio, work item tracking merge. Has anybody ever updated a work item while somebody else, or has anyone else had a work item updated while you were working on it yourself? Yeah, so it looks like a lot of people. It happens to me every day. And so now the work item tracking merge is, if the two fields weren't in direct conflict, they just get merged automatically when you refresh the work item. So a really cool feature there. It definitely saves a lot of pain instead of having to back out your changes and then redo everything. You'll see a lot of the stuff in work item tracking is asynchronous now. You'll see that kind of throughout. There was some of that you saw in pending changes when I was doing a check-in. That workflow is entirely asynchronous. You know, we background all of that. Some other things for, I didn't mention it, but for people that are still using server workspaces in Visual Studio, those are also asynchronous now. So if you decide not to use the local workspace feature, when you make the checkout request to the server, that's backgrounded. So it doesn't block you. You can still start editing the file. We're smart enough to say, allow them to check out locally, and then we'll go and make the request for the server. So a new feature, kind of an async for version control as well. So the last couple things for version control, server mod time, that's a feature that Visual Source Safe used to have where I can see on my local disk, I can set that to what so that the modified time on disk matches the last time it was modified on the server. So it's kind of like a handy way to see, hey, when was something last changed without going to the server or opening Visual Studio. Friendly names, no longer are you going to see your domain slash your username. You'll see, you know, my name will be Matthew Mitrick. It doesn't have North America and Mitrick any longer. We talked about rollback in the UI. There's also baseless merge support in the UI. We showed the merge on Unshell. History, it talked about all the modality stuff. We got rid of a lot of that as much as we could. There's still a few things that we have yet to fix in future updates, but you know, there's a lot of those small improvements that we made throughout. So just to give you a heads up on some of the related sessions, next session, but today there's this All Aboard the Team Foundation Server Express. So I mentioned everything I did today demoed. I was on Team Foundation Server Express running locally off my laptop here. So Martin Woodward is the guy giving that talk. It'll be a really good talk, so I encourage you to go to that. Some other really cool TFS talks you have is about continuous delivery, deep dive into the agile planning tools. So I talked a little bit about the task board. Didn't really get into that today. But if you want to learn more about that, check that session out on Thursday. Really cool stuff. It's incredibly, improves productivity. So there's also a hands-on lab where you can get your hands on it and try out all these scenarios that I showed today. I'll also be at the booth out in the expo area, and so will the rest of the TFS guys that are here today giving talks. So if you have any questions on anything, you can come find me there, and I'm happy to answer whatever. So there's my info. So I asked at the beginning if there was any kind of, friction pain points that you had that were addressed. If they weren't, send me an email, ping me on Twitter. I'd be happy to talk. So, and I'll stick around for questions if there's anything else. So, but that's it. Great, thank you. Do we have a mic for questions? I'm just seeing if we have a mic for questions. Okay, in the meantime, go ahead. The question was code review. Is that a TFS feature or a Visual Studio feature? So it's a combination. It's one of those that you need Visual Studio 2012 and Team Foundation Server 2012 because they're new work item types that are used to manage all the state transition and commenting and things like that. So, cool. Any other questions? Sure, right here. So the question was, which features that I showed today actually do work with previous versions of Team Foundation Server? Right, so 2010. So if I switch back, almost like everything that you saw in Team Explorer, not everything, that's a lie. So my work is a new feature that's not. Same thing with code review. All the pending changes stuff, that this is all just client only. The local workspaces feature where you get offline, you need the server for that because there's some components that the client talks to the server with, so you need to be talking that for local workspaces. All the work items, builds, all those features, those are all client-only features. The merge tool, the diff tool, those are client-only, so you'll get those with Visual Studio, even if you're talking to an older server. Trying to think of any of the other things. I think those are most of the ones that are client-only, so sure. Anything else? Okay, cool. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.